Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Luke chapter 24. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You know, it's easy to get overwhelmed at Easter with trumpets and choir and brass and bells, with flowers and great crowds of people, with the celebration of victory, and with all that follows throughout the day. Easter egg hunts and meals and family and perhaps time on a couch. It's easy to get overwhelmed with all these things, but when you listen to the Gospel of Luke, he gives us a focus on one thing: remembering. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been talking about places of the Passion, ways in which God blesses us. And here, at the fulfillment of all of God's work, he brings us to a place of remembering. And Luke gives us the focus that is needed on a full day like today. Just think of that first Easter. A swirl of activity and emotion. Faithful followers of Jesus, the women, come to the tomb with spices to care for his dead body. But they find, so unexpectedly, the tomb is open and the body of Jesus gone. And then they see those men whose clothing is bright like lightning. And these beings know what the women are doing. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." And they even know what's happened in the past. "Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." These messengers know those women, though they'd never seen them before in their lives. And in the midst of all that commotion, what does Luke focus our attention on? Remembering. "They remembered his words," Luke says. And that's what Luke wants us to do this morning as we celebrate Easter. On that first Easter morning when Jesus rose from the dead, in the midst of the wonder and fear and dread and worship, his people simply and faithfully were brought by God to the place where they could do one single thing. They remembered his words. God sent his angels to the tomb to help them remember. And this morning, through his word, he helps us to remember as well. For God has made the empty tomb a place of remembering for us this morning, that we might truly rejoice in what Christ has done for us on Easter. What does it mean to remember like this? You see, memory does many things. I'm sure you've had the experience. Someone comes into your life, it could be a friend, it could be someone who's not a friend, and with a few simple words, they change what you're feeling and experiencing. "I remember when you used to." "Do you remember when?" And in remembering, your experience changes, either dragging up things you'd rather have forgotten or bringing back happy memories of things from before. That's the power of memory. But how do things change? This morning, I'd invite you to consider two ways in which remembering can change our lives. On the one hand, remembering can take us away from the present and lead us to a world that is past. Maybe you've encountered this at a funeral. Members of the family gather by the casket. Someone comes by and simply begins to reminisce. "Remember that joke he always used to tell? You remember what it was like to gather at our table? There was always an extra space. Do you remember how good they were at playing that game, at singing, at whatever it might be?" And in telling the stories, soon you see these people taken away from the present of pain. Their shoulders relax, their faces brighten, and even at a funeral you can hear laughter. Oh, the power of memory can take us away from the present. But there's also another kind of remembering. One that doesn't take you away from the present, but brings you more fully into it. You might see this type of memory the first time a grandparent holds their first grandchild. The parent places the child into her mother's arms, and at first, grandma seems a little nervous. It's been so long since she's held a baby. It's a bit awkward at first, afraid that she might hurt the fragile little thing. But after a moment, it all comes back. And she cradles the child's head and rocks her and whispers silly things to her. She leans down and kisses her forehead and looks up and begins talking as time compresses of her own motherhood, what it was like when the parents were young. And this time memory is not taking that grandma away from the present. No, it's bringing her more fully into it. For through memory, she's able to delight in the joy of holding this child in a new and richer and more meaningful way. Two types of remembering then. One that takes you away from the present, and one which brings you more fully into it. So what kind of remembering is God calling us to at Easter? What happens when God comes among us today and through his word helps us remember? Does he take us away from the present or more fully into it? For these women, remembering the Lord's words brought them more fully into the present. With the words of Jesus, they begin to understand the strange new world that surrounds them. Empty graves, angels, as they would come to understand, who have been with you all your life. And slowly thinking of what Jesus said, the words begin to make sense. He had talked about a heavenly kingdom, and the world is his, and God's kingdom has come. But what of the pain? What of the crucifixion? Was all this a mistake? No, for Jesus had told them his betrayal and his death were part of God's will. For God so desired to save people that he gave his own son into punishment for their sin. And now that punishment is complete. Divine vengeance is over. And the empty grave is the message and the promise and a glimpse of heavenly joy. Angels proclaim to people. People speak to one another, sharing a message that saves every man and woman and child. God loves you. He gave himself for you, and now he lives and reigns eternally. And suddenly, life for these women has become worth living again. And they run from the tomb, ready to fully live in God's grace. Remembering can bring us more fully into the present. But we live in a world that will tell you differently. Our culture shakes its head at Christians. For when we gather together at Easter, they act as if we've entered a realm of imagination and lost touch with the present. A savior rising from the dead? A world filled with sin and devils and demons and angels? That's a world of outmoded morality, strange views on all sorts of things, answers to questions people no longer ask, they say. Too much of this stuff, and you won't be able to function. How can you enjoy the good life if you're living in the past? How can you get ahead in business if you love your neighbor? That's the world's reaction. But this morning, we learn that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when he leads us to remember the resurrection, he does not take us away from this world and lock us up in some religious belief system with no connection to reality or to the present. No, God sets us free to experience the fullness of life today in his kingdom with deeper meaning. Today, the church remembers the death and resurrection of Jesus because this event, and only this event, gives full meaning to the life of today. All of us have events in our past and in our present that make us fearful of going on. Pains and losses that are experienced, sins that are committed, anger at a boss that's fractured your working relationship, gossip that's made friends your enemies, a broken marriage, a broken childhood, a broken relationship with God. These and countless other things come to mind on a day of remembering, and we are uncertain how we can move on. Memories like this are the memories that would pull us from the tomb to dwell in the pain. It seems as if our past has destroyed our future. But God comes today, and he speaks to us. He says, "Remember, my son Jesus gave his life for you. You are forgiven. He is risen and rules and is the author of life. And you are now a part of my kingdom. In him you are part of my family, and with him your life is part of my work in history." These are the words of God to you. For when he makes his love known in Jesus, we are free and live in God's kingdom. And Christ, who has defeated death, who has overcome sin, who is the author of life, is our Lord, now and forever. You know, some people speak on days like this that in order to have a vibrant Christianity, the church needs to change the message and make God relevant. And if they're thinking of a God who is a distant power, some deity far, far away who doesn't really care, buried in ancient sounding names in ancient manuscripts, the church, they say, needs to bring this God into the 21st century, picking and choosing from the parts that we like and don't, to make God relevant. Well, God doesn't need to become relevant, for such people have simply misunderstood the ways of God and haven't heard who he really is. God needs not make himself relevant because he's God, after all. But God strives to make people relevant, to let his message be heard, so that the real God, the living God, who is so much different than the caricature that people so often bring, so that this God and his work might be made known, and so that our lives, fragile and challenged and pulled apart as they may be, so that our lives shine in the relevance that only God can give. Did you notice in this gospel, right in the middle of it, Luke stops to name names. Returning from the tomb, he writes, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Luke stops in the middle of the story to give us the names of these first witnesses because these women have become something much greater on this day than anyone was before. They have become witnesses to the mighty working of God. They went to the tomb as mourners, and now they come back as witnesses. And they have names and a life experience and a story to tell that changes everything. For when God graciously intervenes and brings people into his kingdom, he makes their lives relevant. People are relevant not because of anything in us or anything we do, but because we are God's. Because we live in God's world, and God has a strange way of pouring out all that he has into us for the sake of reaching a world. Daily business is more than a business. It's a calling. That difficult conversation you have to have with your family on it can become an occasion for gracious speech. Those fragile moments of our lives can be filled with a meaning beyond our making and love beyond our strength, because our lives are in the hands of a loving God. And in his hands, we become part of the way that God works in this world. For us, as for those first faithful women, life becomes more meaningful because Christ is risen, and Christ sends us forth to live in his world by his grace. Today, Luke proclaims the resurrection, and he calls us to remember. Remember the death of Jesus Christ, and remember his resurrection and victory. In him you are forgiven. By him you have new life. With him your life is part of his unfolding kingdom. Oh, it's easy to get overwhelmed at Easter. That's because it's the love of God, which is so abundant and never-ending that it fills all that we need. God bless us as we live in the victory of Easter and in Christ Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We stand to confess our faith.